Hey, what's up, family? It's Coach Josh, and welcome to my live Q&A. Hope you're all doing exceptional, but you always know, before I get into my live Q&A, of course, I have a word for you, but as you come in, go ahead and get your questions ready as I spend about a good 10 minutes on this topic, which is we're going to be talking about the power of monetizing your mindset, the power of monetizing your mindset or having a monetizing mentality. For those who know, I have a mindset mastery course, and today or Mondays are the days that I have that class, and we just ended that class, today's class, and it was powerful. And so I wanted to share a couple of points from that time that we had. Now, here's one of the slides that we had in regards to developing a monetizing mindset. And so I wanted to kind of talk about this real quickly because a lot of people are missing out on opportunities. Their minds are full of drama. Their minds are full of trauma, and it's keeping them from being and creating that generational wealth. It's because in most of us, our minds have been trained to think employed. Our minds have been trained to think lack. Our minds have been trained to think that certain things are impossible, and we have yet to program a lot of people have yet to program their minds to be able to take things from the divine and deliver it to the world and be highly compensated for it. And so we talked a little bit about the monetizing of the mind, and I wanted to share a couple of things on this slide to add value to you, as well as six things I just jotted down. You can't really see it on this paper, but six things that I jotted down that I came just from 5 minutes with the Holy Spirit before doing this video that I want to give to you as value, six steps on how to, or the six steps of a monetizing mindset. But I want to focus on that second paragraph there on the slide. It says, monetizing the mind takes this concept a step further. We were talking about being consistent, but now we talked about monetizing. It said, monetizing the mind takes this concept a step further by understanding that the value of your thoughts and ideas can be translated into tangible outcomes, such as financial gain, personal growth, or societal impact. So when we look at the monetizing the mind, I don't think a lot of us understand just how valuable our minds are, and how our minds have a hidden trove full of ideas, full of insights, full of innovation. God wants the believers to be the thought leaders. God wants his children to be the thought leaders. God wants his people to be the people that people go to. See, we don't understand the concept of the wealth of the wicked being laid up for the just. See, the way the wealth of the wicked will be laid up for the just is because the wicked people do not have wisdom. They have wisdom in their professional endeavors, but they don't have wisdom when it comes to relationships. They don't have wisdom when it comes to the things of God. And we, as the believers, were meant to have a level of expertise, a level of excellence, but also a level of anointing and a level of fervor, a level of wisdom that the wicked need. What wicked areas in the world, or what areas in the workplace, what areas in the marketplace does God have you equipped with the wisdom needed to help people? So we have to understand that the value of your thoughts and ideas can be translated into tangible outcomes. Do you actually believe that your God-given idea can create generational wealth? Do you really believe that that idea God gave you 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 minutes ago is valuable? And God wants you to have a mindset that says, you know what? How can I create an offer, create a product, create a service, create a business, create an insight? Do you know insight is monetizable? Many people come to me for consulting. They come to me for the insight. All of us, whether it's tangible ideas or insightful ideas, God wants you to create a way for it to be monetized, not all things, but certain things to be monetized in a way that will make a way for you. Let's talk about value creation real quick, and then I'm going to get to these 6 points. Let's read. This is one of the slides of my Mindset Mastery Program. Value creation. Your mind is a treasure trove of ideas, insights, and innovations. Monetizing the mind means recognizing and leveraging this intellectual capital to create value for yourself and others. Value creation. The reason why many believers are unable to create value in the marketplace, create value in the workplace, create value in their marriage, create value for God, is because they don't believe they're valuable. Are you watching me right now and are you struggling with that you have no value? That how can I change the world? How can I change someone's world? Right now in your mind, God has deposited from heaven ideas, business ideas, ministry ideas, book ideas, song ideas. God has given you so many ideas. You're just one idea away from your ideal life. But a lot of us, we struggle mentally. We struggle with insecurities. We struggle with inadequacies. And it's keeping us from really investing in those God-given ideas. What about insights? All my coaches, all my consultants, all my people out there that give great advice. Your mind is full of insight. 5 ways to this, 6 steps to that. Some of us just gifted with frameworks. I'm gifted with frameworks. I can take you from point A to point Z. I can give you 7 P's, 3 R's, use acronyms. That's my gifting. Also, some people are just innovators. They can look at a thing and make it better. Monetizing the mind means recognizing and leveraging. I mean, you got to recognize that you have a treasure trove. Recognize that you have great ideas. Recognize that the world needs to see it. And then leveraging it in the marketplace, presenting it in the marketplace. But what mental blockers is blocking you from seeing the obvious? I told in my class today that the most valuable property on the planet is not the properties in the wealthiest areas in your town or city. It's not the wealthiest areas in islands and desired location, desirable locations. The most valuable properties on the planet are intellectual properties. Intellectual property that is owned by you. Right now, I have 11 books that are my intellectual properties. And when it's time for me to go on and be with the Lord, when I'm 70, 80 plus years old, that intellectual property will be owned by my children's children. And God wants you to scan and search through the intellectual areas of your mind to find the intellectual properties that you can create and implement in the world and change it. Creating intellectual capital that creates value for yourself and others. I had my students go through this activity. I had them to think about that if money wasn't an issue, how would they want to spend the rest of their lives? Where? I told them that I want a beach house. I want to be by the beach because water, I am the most creative in water, around water. Water just does it for me. And how that I would love to have a place by the beach for my family. I want to be able to have such wealth where my family don't have to worry. I heard a gentleman say, Myron Golden specifically, he said that his brother has surgery and he has like real serious surgery. And he said that, but his brother had to fly back home. He was injured while he was in Florida with him. And he mentioned how he had enough wealth. He had money to the point to where he was able to say, I don't want my brother flying and going to the airport. And then somebody drops their bag on his incision. He said, I chartered him a plane to where it was just 2 pilots and him and his wife. That's what God wants us to do, to create so much value that not only will we not stress, our family won't stress, that we'll be able to have the resources and the means to be able to help those in need and to ensure our family don't have to start over. And so I just want you thinking today about your mentality. I want to get you thinking today about the ideas that you have. I want to get you thinking about, do you feel that you're valuable enough to add value to the world? That was just a brief little unveiling, or not unveiling, but opening the door to my Mindset Mastery class so you can see that. But here are the 6 things that I got from the Holy Spirit right before I did this video. Six things. I don't know what they are, six steps, six thoughts, whatever, but I'm just going to go through it. First thing I want you to do, there are six I's. I want you to think about your ideal life. Ideal. This is the way you would love to live your life. Why is it important to think about? Because God knows that when humans want to have, humans can't help but do and can't help but be. Because no matter what you want to have in life, you got to do something you've never done to have what you never had before. You have to become someone that you've never been before, to do something you never did before, to have what you had never had before. In order to be someone that you've never been before, you have to believe like you never believed before. In order to believe like you never believed before, to be who you never have been before, to do what you never have done before, and to have what you never had before, you have to be aware like you never had before. We don't have an access problem. We have an awareness problem. Some of us, we have no awareness and belief to believe that we can become someone we never become, to do something we never done, to have what we never had. Are you aware of God's love of you? Are you aware of your value? Are you aware of God's plans for you? If you're not aware, you won't believe. If you don't believe, you'll never become. If you don't become, you'll never do. And if you don't do, you'll never have. So the goal isn't for you to think about your ideal life. What would be your ideal life? What would that look like? Some of y'all say, I would love to. One young lady in the program said she would love to just have a farm and live a quiet, peaceful life. I said, do you know there's a farmland right now waiting for you? That's your one ideal way from creating the income to be able to purchase the farmland? So what's the ideal life that you like to have? Write that down. Number two, what is the big idea? What is the big God idea that God wants you to investigate? What is that idea? What is that business idea, that book idea? That idea, like those ideas are given to you by God and they're stirring in you. And God's like, invest in it. Investigate it and then invest in it. Because you're one idea away from your ideal life. Now, after you done wrote your ideal life and you done wrote the ideas that you know for a fact God has given you that are wealth generating ideas, and if you haven't yet, ask God for it. Then I want you to think about the impact of that idea. The impact. Who would it impact? What would it impact? What industry would it change? What families would it change? What people would it change? Think of the ideal life. Think of the big idea. Think about the impact. After you think about those three things, now think about the individual you must become to be able to steward that ideal life. God ain't just going to give you no farmland. God's not going to give me a beach house. God's not going to give you any of these different things if you're not the individual, or if we're not the individual that can steward it. Once you write down the ideal life, once you think about the big God idea, and then you actually think about the impact, now you inspired. Once you take that inspiration and then get real and say, you know what? Who must I be for God to see that I'm trustworthy forward? Now, the next I is investigate and implement. Study the industry. Study that. Implement it. Put it out there. Start working on it. Work on it like your ideal life depends on it. Work on it like those people depend on it. My last book, The Purpose Relationship, I wrote it like y'all needed it. I knew y'all needed it. People struggle with their relationship with God. People struggle with their relationship with themselves. They struggle with relationships. And then be prepared for the increase. Because once you dream about the ideal life and then you really begin to hone in on that God idea, and then you look at the impact, then you become the individual, then you start implementing, then you can't but open yourself up for the increase. But the one I that I forgot about, there's seven I's. The first one is intimacy. Cultivate an intimate relationship with God. That will change the way you think. Get close to God. Get near to God. That will eliminate limiting beliefs. That will eliminate mental blocks. That will eliminate insecurities, inadequacies, fears. And then you'll be able to dream big, do big, have big. Hope that helped. That's a little bit of value that I want to give you today. Let's answer a couple of questions. Ross Scallop says, and for those who's interested in my mindset program, we do it every Monday. Our second phase of our class, our second 3 months, ends in 2 weeks, and we'll start back up between middle to the end of May. And so if that's something you want to be a part of, they'll help shift your mindset to overcome the mental blockers, the mental fatigue, and create that mental strength and capability. Now check out that mindset program. Ross Scout says, hey, coach, hope all is well. Thank you, family, all is well. I'm struggling getting over someone. I cared about them a lot, but now it's time for me to move on. How do I move on and get past the emotions and wanting them back? Great question. Hey, coach, hope all is well. I'm struggling getting over someone. The first thing I want you to do is to write the good, the bad, the ugly of that someone. Write down that someone in their rawest form. Because oftentimes when we leave our emotions on the inside and we don't allow those emotions to spill and those thoughts to spill into black and white, we'll be naive of the truth, or we'll be ignorant to the truth. Why is it over? Why did God allow it to be over? Why is it over? And then I want you to assess how you cared for them. You said, I cared about them a lot. Now you got to assess your care. Did you care too much? Because the goal with anything to get over anyone is to learn from it. The issue is a lot of people in relationships, they burn from them instead of earn from them and learn from them. The goal is to put your relationship on paper. Put that person on paper, number one, the good, the bad, the ugly, the pros and the cons, the everything about them, how they made you feel, what happened, what contributed to the breakup. That's on one side of sheet of paper. On the other side of sheet of paper, I want you to write down everything you contributed. Did you get in the way? Were you too empathetic? Were you too caring? Were you too invested? Who was invested the most? Because now when you begin to see it on black and white, then you will begin to see the light and the motivation needed to fight through the emotions. Now, how do I move on and get past the emotions and wanting them back? First of all, you got to ask yourself, why did it end? How did it end? Secondly, you got to start thinking about your next. The reason why a lot of people are stuck on their ex, they don't believe that God has a next. Do you actually believe that God has someone better for you? Do you actually believe that God knows what's best for you? Do you actually believe that God can turn this thing around for your good? Do you actually believe that you don't have to be lost because of or be so consumed in with this individual? You got to start thinking about your next. You got to start dreaming big. You got to start thinking about improving. You got to start thinking about growing and developing. When you start doing that, over time, you will get over them. You have to have a place for those emotions to go. Allow those emotions to fuel your next, not to fuel how you feel about your ex. So you get past the emotions by gaining the right perspective of these emotions. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to write down every emotion you have about that individual. Why did you care about them? What did you care about them? Did you carry too much? Did you care too much? Were you unequally yoked? The quicker you can get to the facts, the quicker you can get to the acts. That means you can actually move on. And then I want you to think about, if you were to have them back, how better would your life be? Second, I want you to ask yourself, do you want them more than you want God? Do you want them more than you want yourself? Those are different questions you got to ask yourself. And you know what? I'm going to screenshot this because I want to actually do a video on this because I get this question a lot. But for time's sake, I got to keep moving. Good afternoon, Nubian Soul Child. JoJo says, what's up, Coach Josh? It's JoJo out of Fort Worth. How do I find discipline to make more time for praying and just talk to God? I read my Bible, but I don't pray for long. I think the issue with a lot of us when it comes to prayer is that we have an awkwardness with God. We don't know him enough. So this is what I want you to do. In order for you to pray more with God, you got to get to know God more. So since you are comfortable reading your Bible, I want you to look up the 10 attributes of God on Google. Search 10 attributes of God. And whichever one or two or three attributes that stands out to you, I want you to then type if it's the attribute that God's immutable. I want you to write down a list of scriptures on God's immutability. Usually I tell people pick an attribute that goes against an anxiety, that goes against a area of awkwardness between you and God. What that will then do is now you have a familiarity. Now you have an awareness of a God who you're talking to. It's hard to have a good conversation with someone you don't know. The more you get to know God, the more you're going to want to talk to him, right? But you also have to understand that it is discipline. And what I mean by discipline is this: you got to do it even if you don't feel like it. Do it till you feel like it. Don't feel like it till you do it. Because if you wait till you feel like it, you ain't gonna want to do it. So the main thing I want to tell you is that you got to develop a prayer system. This is my prayer system. And prayer is not something that you have to do isolated. The Bible says pray without ceasing. So the first thing I want to give you value is this, is that every morning, first off, you got to see God as a person. God is not a machine. God is not is not a distant deity. He is a person. And you can talk to him like you talk to your best friend. So the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning, I say, God, man, thank you for another day, man. I appreciate you, man. Thank you for that. First thing I say, thank you for that sweet sleep, man. That was good. Appreciate you, man. Good looking. Father God, man, I just thank you, man, for just giving me life. Then I start thanking God for the next 10 things I do. I think I just got, there we go. I start thanking God for the first 10 things that I do. What I mean by that, the first thing I see after I say thank you for that sweet sleep, oh man, thank you for a roof over my head, man. God, man, thank you. It didn't rain on me last night. God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for an amazing wife, man. God, I remember when I was single, Lord, man, I didn't know, but now I know. I'm glad I have an amazing wife. And I look at my daughter, oh man, God, wow, a human being, healthy and whole. Then when I step out of the bed, oh man, even if you don't have legs, even if you don't have arms, even if you don't have eyes, everybody got something that they can be thankful for. And what gratitude starts doing, it starts telling your body, telling your soul, yo, God is real and we're talking to him today. And then when I get in the car, man, so this is what I do. I'm gonna give you these 7 R's that I do real quickly. The first thing I do to help sustain a solid prayer life is that I reflect. Reflection. I begin to reflect, thinking on the goodness of God. So when you first wake up in the morning, just take about 30 seconds to think on his goodness. After you start thinking on his goodness, then start rejoicing about those good things. That's what I started saying about thanking God for the roof, thanking God for this. Once you start rejoicing, then you'll begin to see things in your heart. If you need to go the repentant route, start repenting. Lord, man, Lord, I repent for what I, man, you're so good, God. Because that rejoicing, that goodness draws you to repentance. After you then repent, then become resourceful. While I'm brushing my teeth, while I'm thinking, I'm starting to pray for people. Lord, I give you, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for divine protection over my wife and daughter. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for divine protection over my wife and I's moms. Lord, I cover my sisters. I cover my nephew, my niece. I cover my family. And you start being resourceful. Once you start being resourceful, then God will then lead you, or your heart will lead you to start making requests. After you done reflected, after you done rejoiced, after you done repented, after you done been resourceful, then you have accurate requests. Now you can start requesting from God. God, you know, God, I pray, Lord, for this, or I pray, Lord, for that. By the time I get in the car, by the time I walk out the door, now I'm retaliating. Devil, through the authority that's been given to me by Christ Jesus, I cancel every plot and scheme that you have set for me against me today. I cover my family under the blood. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. I pray over my car. I start retaliating. And then after I retaliate, I cut on music or I stay in reflective mode. I either get into, it depends on what the Holy Spirit vibes is. It depends where my soul and spirit need. I may cut on a sermon. I may cut on some rejoicing. I may just sit in reflection. Sitting in reflection, sitting in rejoicing is praying without ceasing. We're staying in reflective mode. Staying sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been in a room with someone Y'all didn't talk for the last 45 minutes, but your presence spoke. Y'all's presence spoke to each other. Y'all's presence spoke peacefully to each other. I hope that value helped for you, family. PTO said, hey, coach, do you think natural reasons are legit reasons for sin, such as loneliness, insecurity, boredom, or are those sugar-coated answers and it's really a lack of love for God? Correct, my brother. Natural reasons are not legit. There's no legitimate reason for sin. I used to do this with pornography. I used to make legitimate reasons, natural reasons. I say, oh, because I struggle with anxiety or because I'm going through this. And I started looking up masturbation and its benefits. And I started making excuses for it. I was taking a natural reason as dope exchange for my lack of hope. Loneliness, insecurities, and boredom are examples of not being fully aware of God's awesomeness, of not being in awe of God's awesomeness. It's hard to be lonely when you know that you got a holy God that loves you, that wants to cause you to rise above your situation. It's hard to be insecure when you're secured in Christ. It's hard to be bored when you have a beautiful future to create. And yes, it's really a lack of love of God. Actually, it's a lack of an awareness of God's love. You can't have love for something if you don't have an awareness of why you should love it. Hope to help, family. Newbie Socha says, I always felt like I could create something out of nothing or look at an object and make it better. I just never thought of it as being innovative. That's it. You're an innovator, family. Now you're going to be set up to be a consultant. Innovators are consultants. Innovators are individuals that can go into any industry and people pay them a lot of money to change it. You are a thought leader. Now it's time to monetize that. Now it's time to take that to the next level. Yep, vision board is big. Mootop Shada says, would you rather watch a tree grow or a knee grow? That's good, family. I'm so glad that it was deep for you, Lucy. I'm glad it was good to you, good for you. Newbie Socha says, last minute question. I have over 70 things on my future spouse list. Is that too much? Keep living and that list will shrink. 70, it depends on how your mind's wired. Some people's minds, they can really think of 70 things. But what I want you to do is find a core 10, core 10 to 20. Because some of those things might be unnecessary. But find the 10 to 20 non-negotiable things for your future spouse and allow that to be your core 20 or your core 15 or your core 10. Everything else you may find as you grow and mature, those things ain't really necessary for you to check off on your list because not every 70 things means there are certain things that individual and you will actually grow into. The real question is, are you those 70 things? When sometimes we'll put 70 things about another person, but we don't match those 70 things. So then you'll begin to check some of those things off because you'll be able to see some of these things on my list are unrealistic. Some of these things on this list ain't not necessarily necessary, but find your core 10, find your core 20, and then ask yourself, are you those 70 things? Are you even mature enough? Not worthy enough, but are you mature enough and a steward enough to really ask for those 70 things? Because then when you focus on looking for those 70 things, instead of becoming those 70 things, then you end up not having those 70 things. Hope to help. Pray this video was a blessing to you. Gotta go. Love y'all so much. Check out the links in the description box below. Books, card games, coaching programs for those who want to work on their life. I have a community that you can be a part of, that you can actually work on your life, whether you work on your singleness, work on your marriage, work on your ideas, join the community. There's a lot of great resources there that help expedite you, help you get the tools you need to succeed. Also, check out the Mindset Mastery Program. Check out the Relationship Mastery Program. Check out for all my high-level entrepreneurs or entry-level entrepreneurs who really just want to make sure their life and their business are actually growing at the same level and not just growing professionally, but you're not growing personally or relationally. Check out my Mastermind Fulfillment Elite one-on-one coaching, all that stuff on my website, mycoachjosh.com. Love y'all. Y'all have a great night. I'll catch y'all next time. Peace.